I'll turn your Bibles to, what do we got here? First Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Our topic tonight is prayer, specifically praying with all kinds of prayer, and the title of our message is Standing in the Gap through Intercession. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 2 says that I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then in verse 2, Paul goes on to specify who those people are. For kings, notice that he didn't say for one king, but more than one king, kings. In Paul's time, they didn't have presidents or prime ministers and those kinds of leaders. They had kings. So we could also say, you know, prime ministers and presidents and so on. And during that time, a great majority of those leaders were not Christians. They were not born again. They were not church people. They didn't even have a respect for God. So Paul says, goes on to say, pray, we continue with the idea, pray for kings and for all that are in our authority. So, number one, for kings, and number two, for all that are in authority. So anybody that's in any kind of authority, in leadership, you might say, that we need to pray for them. Not to criticize, but pray for them. And he says, why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So the thought there is that we need to pray. In verse 6, it goes on to say that we all, that, you know, these people would hear the gospel. So the bottom line is that we need to pray to get the gospel out so that sometimes governments and leaders can hinder the gospel because if they don't make decisions properly, then they affect the way we govern and proceed in our lives, our own personal lives. You know, anything that happens at the government affects us down to the everyday life. Like Parliament is just not there in Ottawa, or City Hall is just not separate from us. We're with the City Hall. We're with the government, the Trudeau government of Canada. We're all part of one. So we need to pray for them because their decisions affect us every day. If you don't know that, maybe you should study history a little bit. You study just even recent history, how laws have affect our lives and how affect churches. In fact, recently we've heard that rumors or at least some talking about how this present government might affect, you know, the status of church and the way we operate. I don't know if that's true, but I don't doubt it because the way I see myself on television about the way people believe in that government. Of course, you know, the church is not, we're not one and the same. We're of a different nature. But nevertheless, we are to pray for these kings, leaders, even, you know, they might not be your favorite people in government. It doesn't matter if you like them or not. Our duty and responsibility is to pray for them. Not to criticize them, but to pray for them. We should be able to offer positive evaluation and give our assessment of what we believe should happen, because it is, after all, a democratic government. We're not forced to do a lot of things. You know, we need to be able to pray, act as a democratic person, individual, as well as a corporate across the nation. So Paul is saying we need to pray for the leaders, because it affects you. It affects the gospel. It affects the church. It affects you, how you minister down the street, how you operate in a ministry. I know these guys have a ministry right here, over here. I have a ministry. There's people in here probably, you know, if you have a ministry, maybe someone's watching the television, they have a ministry. That affects them, how you operate, where you operate, where you are able to preach the gospel. And that's the main thing that God wants, that everyone hears the gospel, that everyone would hear the message in a way that they can receive it. Right? Nobody wants to force people, make you get saved. You have a choice. Everybody has a choice to get saved or not get saved. You should receive it in a way that's not not under duress. You know, somebody pulls up a gun and says, you know, you better confess Jesus right now or I'll kill you. Well, you'll confess Jesus the Lord because you don't want to die. Yeah, right then, you know. So, as an introduction as well, I want to say many make the mistake of praying one kind of prayer or prayer that many make the mistake of praying a prayer and try to make that prayer work for every situation. Not every kind of prayer, not every kind of praying will work for every situation. It's your duty to learn and study the subject, listen to people who know what they're talking about, and hear what they have to say. Because if someone's dying with cancer on the hospital bed, your prayer beside their bed saying, you know, God bless them, help them, that's not going to help them. That's not going to help them at all. That's not going to help their family. We need to know how to pray for people. For instance, some people sometimes pressure me as a minister to run to a bedside of a ICU room and as a family or individual force me to try to give prayer to someone to save them and give them a miracle. Well, I don't give miracles. And I don't just go to people's bedside if they don't want me. And I don't know what the situation is, so how do I know what to pray? And I don't know, I know for a fact, generally the Bible, that you're not supposed to go and do these kind of things unless someone themselves asks you for prayer. And that's why, if any member of your family is sick, I don't go rush to their bedside because they might not want me there. I've made that mistake many times, going beside someone's bedside to pray for them when they said, what are you doing here? I didn't want you here. I said, well, your wife sent me, your daughter sent me. Well, I don't want this. So, you know, you need to have agreement. And there's a prayer called a prayer of agreement, too. We need to know what that is all about, right? So that's what I'm saying here in my introduction. And that we try to make prayer work for everything. A skidoo is a means of transportation, but it doesn't work like a train. You know, you can't drive it down the freeway or like a car. It's a different kind of transportation. Although it'll take you from A to B, and not in the winter and the summer, it only works for a certain time. It doesn't work in the water. It's not a boat. Although a boat is a means of transportation. So everything works according to the way it was designed. And God has given us laws. God has given us rules. God has given us principles so that we can govern, make that prayer work for the way it's supposed to work. Okay? So we make the mistake of making prayer work for everything, like a one fits all, but it not might not apply to everything unless we have agreement. So we must not misunderstand God or those working for God, like ministers and people who you think might be an elder who can pray for you. We might misunderstand them and get upset if the prayer doesn't work. Okay, we just, you know, I just recently, I mean, 2 days ago, someone was mad because I didn't pray for their persons I don't even know about. No one called me, no one told me, you know, that of this situation. I had someone phone me and told me all kinds of nice things on the phone. Why, you know, why didn't they come and someone died? Well, I don't make those decisions. I mean, we have those kind of pressures. You might not have that pressure, but I do. We have this thing, you know, whether we don't, whether we do, we still get into trouble. And so that's why we have teaching meetings to try to tell people this is how it works. You can't force people. You can't force people to get born again any more than you can force someone to get healed. There's people in this room that are sick with sickness and they're not healed yet. While you have, you can't just go run to every prayer meeting, every time evangelist shows up, you're going to ask for a prayer again and you had other people pray for you. So when is it going to work? When is your prayer going to work? And so if there's a problem, it's not God's fault because he already set the rule. It's your fault. Because you failed to read, you failed to learn, you failed to do whatever you're supposed to do to understand about the laws of faith. And we can't blame people or other people in churches because we have a problem. And so we like to push things off on other people and blame people for different things. So we need to understand the laws so to make them work. We need to find out how they work so that we can make sure that we know how to plan for things, pray for things, and just in case, you know, say for instance, we ought to be praying for our year. That's why we're going to set aside every noon hour, every day here for a month, and pray for the whole the needs of every family, every church, all the activities in this church. We pray for that right here at noon hour every day. We'll have it open, and each one of you will come and open the door and take turns. You can't put it all on Pastor Ken. He's going to drive a bus at 2 o'clock. So somebody's going to open the door. But we need to take at least 2 days, 3 days to fast. Amen. You know, somebody just told me the other day, we're going to be fasting 40 days. I had one church here in the town said they fast 40 days. Well, there's nothing in the New Testament that say that churches should fast for 40 days. Nothing. We need to learn how to operate by the Word of God. We're not under the Old Testament. Okay. You know, Paul the Apostle who wrote the Bible, you know, he fasted was 3 days. And what it was for direction and getting before God and finding what God wants for ministry, what he wants to do. And different things. You know, we make all kinds of mistakes about prayer, and we get into all kinds of trouble and all kinds of disappointment because these things are not working. Well, it takes a while to grow up. It takes spiritual growth. I was coming here today thinking about, okay, I've been in ministry this long. I said, man, I just feel like I'm just starting out. I just feel like I don't know anything. I'm just learning. I just feel like I'm walking baby steps. And there's a lot of people that never pick up their Bible. They don't go to church regularly. Never are what we call being discipled. Because you can't learn on your own, even though you're an adult, 50, 60 years old. You can't learn alone unless you have some person that's anointed with Scripture and the Holy Ghost is upon them to bring you things that you can't get for yourself. So, you know, I mean, this is going over pretty good, right? I just feel the anointing right now, praise God. Yeah, I mean, we need to understand that these things happen. You know, so we see the silliness all over the church in our city. And I told Pastor Kent, you know, Brother Hagin was correct when he said this. I wonder, used to shake my head being in the meetings. He said, you know, when people say they're faith people and we're the faith churches, there's very few faith churches around. And those of them call themselves a faith churches. How many faith churches? I don't know of any in this city that's faith church besides us. Or at least we identify ourselves as a faith church. Now, there's people everywhere have faith. There's a difference. And God has given, you know, a message. And it's not easy. Faith is not easy. Fighting a good fight is not easy. You ever fight with yourself? Well, that's a faith fight. To either go with your flesh or follow the love of God in your life, the spirit in your heart, and do the right thing. Make the next right step, they say in the AA program, right? No, you're not in the program, but somebody is there. But we need to make the next right move. Like, we need to start praying for our year, interceding. I know if God's ever going to do something significant in your life, now you could be normal and have tremendous success, naturally speaking, but to do something extraordinary for God, you're going to have to pray. You might finish university, you might finish school, but that doesn't take anointing and special move of God to do that, to have a job every day, go to work every day. Thank God for blessing you and giving you health and all that. I mean, we all believing that. Even people in the world are believing God for good health. And they're doing everything to get themselves looking pretty and smelling nice and making sure they're healthy. So Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman, I don't know if you ever heard of her. She's a famous doctor who had what they call healing rooms or healing home, where she would bring in sick people. She was a physician who got addicted to prescription drugs and got so addicted to drugs that it crippled her life until she could not do anything for herself. Every doctor, they sent her to psychiatrists and other doctors, they could not help her. She would just die from it. And she got delivered, and she came to the Bible. I believe if someone would just give themselves over to God completely, there's no doubt they'd be delivered. There's no doubt about it. But not everybody is like that. They want a softer way, an easy way. I had to fight every single day to be sober for 4 years for myself, anyway, to stay sane. You know what it is to have addiction and to not want to use every day? You know, I was afraid to go and use because I know that I was going to die. And I would lose my mind. There's some people I talk to you here individually. When you drank, you lose your mind. I lost my mind many times. I didn't know where I was, what I did. And even when I did know what I was doing, I could not control myself. Anybody ever had that? Wake up somewhere, you don't know who you woke up with. Why you're there? No one wants to admit that here, but it happens to people, you know, like they get addicted. This woman, Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman, she had a problem. And Brother Hagin used to say, if people don't intercede, some people will never get off the bed. They'll never get healed unless someone intercedes. No, some people will not be born again unless someone prays that God would somehow get the message over to them. Intercession is important. And real intercession, for churches to grow, we need intercession. Now, we can bring somebody over and invite them over to church. That's not real, you know, real spiritual, you know, growth for the church. So, thank God we should do it. She said concerning prayer, I said, if I didn't get answers to my prayer, he said, I'd make changes immediately. Because God never changes. He don't change. Prayer, God is the same before you pray or before you fast, during your fast and after your fast. God's still the same. And you're not going to trick God because you prayed a long time. Because people think, if I can just pray long and hard and scream at God, I'm going to somehow change his mind. Like naturally thinking, sometimes we feel that way. That's the way it is. We can somehow twist God's spiritual arm to get him to see it our way. Anybody ever done that? You know, God, if you could just, please, hey, listen, reason with me. So we need to learn to put things first. Let's look at our scripture, 1 Timothy 2:1. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, everybody say first of all. Say, first of all. So this is what he said concerning prayer. As this is he's talking about prayer. He said, first of all, notice that these are all in the plural form. He didn't say supplication. He said supplications. He didn't say prayer. He said prayers. He didn't say intercession, but intercessions. And giving of thanks. I said, only the preachers. One time. God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. Shakaba. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And he specified, as I mentioned to you, what those men, who those men were. When he says men, that includes women as well, all of humanity. And 1 Timothy 2:1. So if he says, first of all, we need to learn to put God first, put his word first, and other people first. Because he is putting other people first. Before you pray for anything else, this is what he said to do first. First, pray for other people and their needs. Pray for the leaders. Everybody likes to criticize leaders, but they don't pray too much about leaders, for them and their families and for all the things that they're going through. Because leaders go through a lot of junk that other people normally maybe don't have to go through. They're the ones that's seen every single day, and they're the ones that have to make choices for every day, not just for themselves, but for a whole lot of other people. And they have to live pure and holy, and you're not living pure and holy yourself. I mean, we have to learn how to pray and put these things in perspective. And so, like I said, Brother Hagin used to tell us, if God's going to attack, he's going to attack not only you, but if he doesn't get a hold of you, he's going to try to get a hold of your wife. Have you guys noticed that over there? If one of you is doing good, the other guy is getting hit. And if you're not getting hit, the kids are crazy. And when the kids are crazy, everything, even the dog goes crazy. I mean, everything goes crazy. So we need to pray for people. Because our decisions affects a whole lot of people. You know, this year, the effect of my life affect the whole church. And how the progression of this church. And what happens in this church. And if the devil can not only stop me, but he'll try to slow me down so that I don't concentrate, get my mind off spiritual matters and get my mind off finances. And thank God, I want to tell you something. Last year at this time, we had $0 in our bank account. $0. And I laid off Pastor Ken. He's the first one I laid off. No, I'm just kidding. I said, if I had to lay somebody, I must lay myself off. So I laid myself off, Pastor Ken and Pastor Steve. I said, this is how it works. This is a ministry, man. We're not in it for ourselves. If you're in it for the money, then you're in the wrong place. Now go find a job. I said, I work here. I've been here for 30 years. I work to have this job that I'm doing right now. Did you know I work for this? I had to work to be in this job. Who does that? I work to go to this. You work there to get this, to work for this, in this job. And that's what we have to do. We're missionaries in our own city. And so we laid these guys off. And at that time, conveniently, the college lays me off. So I had zero income. For a number of months, 3 months, I had no income coming from anywhere except for what savings I had in my account. Then when I got started back on, it took me a little while to catch up on my debt, and by the time this Christmas come along, I was almost just getting there. And we had zero account, not just in my own account, but in the church account. You know how much money we got in the account right now? I don't have to tell you, but we've got a lot more than $0 in there. But we have enough to pay for that $100,000 debt over here that we have. It's done. $100,000 sitting in the bank right now to get that. and we got an extra $100,000 to run the church.
Wow.
That's $200,000. And last year we didn't have anything. That's in the general account. And so God has been good for us to have finances, to believe God. I told Pastor Ken, what we do is for Spirit Life. A lot of stuff we do for Spirit Life, I said, it's not God's best. When we have to raise money to go to a fundraiser, it's not God's best to do a fundraiser. I'm going to say it again. It's not God's best to do a fundraiser. That's not how God does it. For me and for Spirit Life, I'm talking about. But you have to go where people's faith is at. Hello. It's still good. A fundraiser is still good. Believe you me, we had $30,000, $40,000 last fall for that. If it wasn't for the fundraiser, there'd be no money in it. And so we had to get, to do that. But I believe that people should give because they believe in something. They're with you. They're partners. I don't know if Paul had fundraisers. I don't know if he made pies or whatever he did. He was in Philippi. Maybe that's what he did over there. Amen. I guess that went over your head, but that's fine. So we got to put God's word first. Pray for others. You know, people never pray. They rarely pray for anybody else, or particularly leaders. For instance, they make intercession, supplications. You know, we never make intercession and supplication we don't make intercession for ourselves. Never. We can supplicate for ourselves and we can pray for ourselves, but it's a different story to intercede. You know, you don't intercede for a Christian who knows God. We intercede for someone who doesn't know God. Intercession is only used for someone who invoked guilt upon themselves and condemnation on themselves because of the way they live. And then you fall under, judgment. And if you get out too far, if you backslide, then you probably will need intercession. But Christian, quote unquote Christian, walking with God, he don't need no intercession. He needs supplication. We can join in and pray for those kinds of people. So not putting other people first may be the main reason why people not making their prayer life work or getting their prayers answered when they should. They want their prayers answered, but they never pray for anyone else. So I'm not mad at anybody here. Okay, so I want you to know that because that's the way I'm preaching, like I'm preaching with passion. I'm not mad at anybody, okay? So if you're thinking, oh, he's mad at me, he never shows a prayer meeting. No, I'm not even thinking about that at all. Because sometimes people, they pray, they get mad at me after church, said, you're talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you, but I didn't talk to you specifically. Don't write sermons for you. You know what I'm saying? I never think about you. Never. Specifically, oh, I'm going to write this for Pastor Ken. He needs to hear this. He might need it, but I didn't do it for him. God told Brother Hagin one time when he was at a church, that he directed him to pray, to tell the church to pray, start praying for other churches. That told this church that you guys, God's saying to me right now, told me that you need to pray for other churches instead of your own self. Start praying for the churches. If you start praying for the churches, he said, I'm going to send a revival to this church if you do that. Remember Job 42:10? I think it's 42:10. He said, when Job prayed for his friends, God healed him. That's a good scripture. Yeah. Job says that there. Job 42:10. When Job prayed for his friends, God healed him and God financially blessed him. But also notice this, that it says in there in James 5:16, the second part, James 5:16b, he says that pray for one another that you may be healed. Like, when you pray for someone, you're going to get healed too. It's a law. What we want other people to have, you know, Ephesians 6:8 says that what we wish for someone else, want for someone else, God will make happen for you. It's a law. That's how it works. The love of God works that way. And so this church was blessed. So, for some reason, it's not working. So anyway, sometimes it's so we got to put things, God things. So God tells us to do, put this in perspective, put our priorities in perspective. We have to think about praying for other people, particularly leaders of our nation. Specifically, the scripture reveals God's heart for these people. God feels for those leaders. And he has great, you know, even if someone is against God, we need to pray for them so that God will turn the heart of a leader because you pray. God will change a leader's heart because we pray. That's the way he's made it. So, right up from the leader of the nation, right down to those who daily function in leadership positions. Your boss at work should be prayed for. Your supervisor, we should pray for them. When you go to work every day, pray for them and ask God's blessing upon them so that it makes your job a little easier. You can do a lot of stuff that perhaps, you know, might make things work better. So regardless of what you feel or think about their style of or ability in leadership, we need to pray for those people. And so we must not also blame God. Everybody said, don't blame God. It's because sometimes we blame God for things that go on in life, in this world, and we make ignorant statements like, why did God allow that to happen? Or why did God didn't do something about that situation? See, God cannot do anything in people's lives unless we pray. I remember this guy, I don't know what his name is, I think it's John Wesley. No, he's not related to Glenn Wesley. He was a great missionary, and he said, it seems like God is limited to do something for humanity unless someone prays. Amen. He was a great man. I think he's a leader of the Methodist people or great move of God in the bygone day? So many times, even Christians blame God, particularly ignorant people who don't know anything about God. They blame God for someone dying or some tragedy, or they blame God that God let that happen. God took them. God didn't take them. They took themselves. They allowed the circumstances to take them in life. Let's put this prayer perspective this year into the right place. Let's start learning about prayer. Let's start figuring this thing out, how we're supposed to do this together. So we're going to hold seminars and prayer seminars, maybe take 3 days, and we learn about it and practice it. When we were at Rhema, we did what we call prayer and precept. First of all, we taught prayer, and then we did it. Spend maybe 10, 15 minutes or half an hour, whatever, pray together and do that and learn how to pray. And the only way you can learn how to pray is to pray with people who actually know how to pray, not by yourself. Because when you're praying by yourself all the time, you pray with other people who know how to pray, then you realize, hey, I've been doing this a little bit wrong. I know you're excited about that. We need to put first things first. So when it comes to prayer, we have often prayed for our own self, and instead of doing what the Bible says, that is praying, putting other people first. People can get so self-absorbed and be overcome by their soulish conditions that they forget to apply proper principles to prayer. Paul said in his opening scripture to pray for kings, for all that are in authority. This means, besides government people, leaders in different institutions, We need to pray for every person who leads in any area in our society that God allows you and quickens you to pray for. As we said, in Paul's day, nations were ruled by kings. And it's no wonder that people are in so much turmoil and trouble because we have failed to cover our leaders with our prayers. I remember one time I listened to Brother Higgins' testimony, one of the times that he had this vision that a big, this monstrous being coming out of the sea and attacking the nation of U.S. He said that it'll be an attack on the U.S. and society because people have failed to pray. We haven't held back. You know, the Bible says we are the salt of the world. What does salt do? In the olden days, people used to put salt on meat to preserve meat. You know? And so we use salt. Salt is a means of preservation. So as long as we're here, as long as we pray, we can save and protect society. We can protect people. We can protect people from being judged and going in judgment. We can go before God. If one guy prayed, we know this from Old Testament, Abraham prayed for a whole city. There's people there. Sodom and Gomorrah was so wicked, the Bible says, that God says, I'm coming down, destroy it, because the cry of it has come up. All the violence and all the vile living and lifestyle and all that stuff is in there. I'm going to have to destroy that city. And Abraham in Genesis says he went up before God and said, God, you're not going to do this thing. You're not going to kill these people. There's righteous people in there. You're going to kill righteous people for those people. And so he began to argue with God and made his case before God like a lawyer would go before God. And the Bible says in Isaiah, it says that we as people can go before God and make supplication and like a lawyer stand before God and talk to God about that person or that person's situation. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can. Make your case. And there's lots of cases where that has happened. I've heard so many people go before God and say, listen, God, listen, I need this person. And so we need to be able to do that. So we need to pray because of decision makers, leaders can be swayed, put pressures on them on daily lives to alleviate pressures. They make quick decisions. People can be influenced by a wrong spirit, or people groups cause distractions for leaders and cause these people to make decisions that are not right. And you just listen to the news and look around the world, you'll find that people are being pressured daily to make certain decisions. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul made this statement, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men, for kings who are in authority. And we need to know who is running the show in this world. God is not running the show. He's not running the show. He's not running City Hall to the degree that it can be. Now, there is grace there because people have prayed for this city. And people are praying for this city. And so many people are blaming God for the calamities that is going on throughout the world, in their cities, and so on. Even things such as earthquakes and violent hurricanes, terrible tornadoes, they claim, you know, even, you know, these insurance people say it's an act of God, which is not an act of God in its true sense. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says it's an act of God in this world, which is the devil. He's called the God of this world. He's the one that's causing this trouble. So the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus said, John 10:10. So what are we supposed to do? Just let him go and kill and steal and destroy your family? Is he going to come and steal your husband and wife and just do what he wants? No, your husband belongs to you. Your children belong to you. You have a right to stand before God and say, no, you're not having them. I'm going to stand here until they are ready to make the decision. And that's all sometimes you have to do, is to stand there until they're ready to make a decision. And you're not going to move one bit. You know, like Moses told Pharaoh, we're not going to leave one hoof, one animal. I believe, Pastor Ed, you can stand for your little Caesar. Pray. I've known people, farmers, who pray for their lay hands on the cows and they shall recover. The Bible says that everything is blessed. Everything that belongs to us is blessed. So when in Genesis 27-28, God gave Adam dominion. Then the devil comes along and tells Jesus over there in what is the scripture? Luke chapter 4:6. He says, if you'll worship me and bow down before me, I'll give you all the riches of the world. In a moment of time, the Bible says that the devil showed Jesus all the riches of the world. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to do that. Listen, there's an easier way about this thing. There's an easier way to make money. There's an easier way to find, you know, do whatever it is you want to do with it. You know, and so he says, you can just, I can give to whomever I wish I can give it to. Somebody said, you know, the Rolling Stones gave themselves to the devil. I don't know if that's true. Somebody said Lady Gaga was worshiping a demon and gave herself over to the demon so that she can become rich and famous right away. And if that, you know, I saw that on Facebook, okay? I don't know if that's true or not. But if that's true, I don't know. The Bible says that the devil was a worship leader. I don't know if that's true or not. But it seems to me this is true, that he can give people any riches if you bow down to him. He'll make you the best businessman, the best contractor in the whole world, the best business guy in the whole world. If you'll just do things on the sly, he'll do whatever you want to do. He'll get you what you want. If you just lie a little bit, just a little bit, a little white lie, then he's going to get you. This is how it starts. It doesn't start big. How did those preachers, I don't want to mention them, over in the 80s when we saw all that's going on over there, what happened to them? It was just a little thing over here, and then it goes over there for a number of years. He'd let you run for a number of 25 years, 30 years for a while, then he'd get you. You're not lying. He knows how to get to you. He's been at this for a long time. Anyways, I better hush here. So anyway, let's go ahead and pray. There's so much more we can talk about when we talk about prayer. So when can we pray for people? How can we pray for people? Can you just go rush to someone's bedside if they're dying and get them out of there? No, you can't. You can't just do that. You can't just rush to every bed in a hospital and heal somebody just because you wanted to. No, it won't work like that. Go ahead and try it. Don't believe it? Go ahead and try it. You know, nobody doesn't get saved on my reserve community because I prayed one prayer. Oh, God bless them. Let them get saved tomorrow. They didn't come running to Jesus. It don't work like that. If it worked like that, I pray, everybody write me a check for $10,000 today, and I'll be rich. No, it don't work that way. So we need to pray and really look at scriptures and examine things and follow them the way, you know, the way God leads us as well, the way we see it in the Bible. And we can only operate on the degree that we understand. I don't know everything, but I'm going to teach what I know. And as I teach, revelation comes as I teach. And as you walk with God, revelation will come. When you start obeying God for where you're at, revelation will come. The next step will come. The light will come as you walk in the light. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Let's all stand. The Bible said when you stand praying, believe. Thank you. We are standing and we're believing. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, so not only that we committed ourselves to do what you call us to do, God, but specifically we're going to agree that this church will be a praying church, a prayer of intercession, to pray for the needs of other people before we pray for ourselves. That we'll pray and believe God for other people's healings, other people's families before we pray for our own family, when we know to pray. And we'll vow to learn about prayer. We want to learn the laws of faith that govern the operation of each prayer. And in any situation that comes up, we're going to be prepared. We're praying right now for this year, 2018, and we're going to believe. We're going to pray with our mind, and we're going to pray with our spirit. We're going to pray two ways, as the Bible says. I will pray with my understanding, which is I pray with my mind and what I know what to pray about, and I'll pray with my spirit, because only the Holy Spirit knows how to pray and cover those areas that I don't know anything about. And so, Father, right now in this church, for every family and everyone here in this church, We cover them with the blood of Jesus. And we declare healing and health and prosperity over them because it's your will. We pray for the peace of God in every home and every marriage. We pray that every husband or wife or wayward child come home to Jesus Christ. We pray, we're believing God, just like the prodigal is believing that one day the son is coming back. We're standing in faith for them. Like Moses, we're not going to leave one child behind. We're bringing all our children out of Egypt. And we're trusting God that they'll come out with silver and gold, and not one feeble thing will be on their bodies. They'll be in the right mind, and they'll be all well. And everyone who is not doing well in this church, every family member who is not doing well, we're going to say like the Syrophoenician woman. We're going to say all is well, even though it looks so bad. Even though they're all drinking and drugging and doing all kinds of stuff. Even though they're out there somewhere doing all kinds of debauchery. We're going to say all is well with them. Thank you, Lord. I'm trusting you right now. I'm believing you right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm standing in faith with every single man, woman, and child in this room, in this church, in the TV audience. I'm trusting in the name of Jesus. I'm standing with you right now and believing God that change is coming right now. That anything is impossible. All things are impossible to them who believe. I believe in prayer. I believe prayer changes things. I believe you can change now. Your family can change right now. I'm trusting the Lord that God's hand is reaching out right now. And like the Bible says, the moment Daniel prayed, God sent an answer right away. I trust God right now. That's happening right now. I believe the enemy's under our feet, and we're above, raised above with Jesus, sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I believe that whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, whatever we don't permit, whatever we permit on earth shall be permitted or not permitted in our lives. We do not permit sickness and disease to reign in this church. We do not permit poverty to reign in this church. We do not believe and accept that families are be torn apart by the enemy and marriages be ruined. As long as we understand to the degree that we've grown up above things that we were ignorant about before, we're not going to stand for it anymore. We're not going to stand for the enemy's attacks. We're praying for every family that they're prospering. Everyone, we just pray that this church is growing leaps and bounds. And we say that even though it's not so right at this moment, we're saying, thank God, this church is growing. It's multiplying. Yeah. It's growing. People are getting born again. People are getting miracles, receiving miracles. Prayers are being answered in the name of Jesus. And we pray that every pastor, that their lives be preserved and their children will be preserved. That they'll not be worried about finances. That they'll not be worried about their little children running around out there. But they're going to be focused on the things at hand and what God told them to do. They'll not be moved to the right or to the left. Or to shrink back from the things of God. But to go forward and be bold in the Lord. And thus says the Lord. And we pray for every person here that they'll not be afraid of one another. They'll not be afraid of being hurt. They'll not be afraid of anyone's words. But they're going to move ahead in spite of what people said or what has happened in the past. They're not going to let the past hold them from going forward in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We are strong in the Lord. We are stable, unwavering, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are more than conquerors. We are rich in faith. We're rich with all things that we're enjoying in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, Father, for the things right now that we cannot see and do not know anything about, we're trusting you. Whatever we left out about praying for our family and praying for the leadership and praying for what you want us to pray about, we're trusting by faith in the Holy Ghost as we pray in tongues in the next few minutes that the Holy Spirit is covering this over right now as we pray in tongues. Holy Spirit, help us to pray in tongues. Help us to pray for the things we don't have no knowledge about. How to stop terror from happening in our families. How to stop financial, economic failures in our families, how to stop financial and economic ruin in our businesses, and how to stop the devil from attacking our kids and stopping the work of the Lord in this church. And stop hindering the growth of the people spiritually in the name of Jesus. And so we pray in tongue purposely about that right now. In Jesus' name. Let's go pray in tongues. Come on. Oh, Shiki, Lama Ka Santa Karamoso, Oh, Rama Santa Karabashiti. Oh, Nineya Saka Lamoso, Umbra Ka Santa Keria, Imbre Ki Santa Karabasoto Koroboshoto. How be it in the spirit in me speaks mysteries, hidden truths, not obvious to his senses. When a man prays in tongues, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. Sumbro kishite le maka santa karamaso. Praying the will of God from the Spirit, in the Spirit, by the Spirit, out of our inner man. Bakara shite ele mesonto korosho. I'm praying in the will of God right now. Oh, Rabba Santa for the church. Imbre ki santa for every family member and every family in the name of Jesus and all the pastors and leaders and everyone that's involved here right now. We call them into the glory of God. We cover them. We come against every attack of the enemy. To avoid tragedy. To avoid disaster. To rise up from the dust. To rise up out of nothing. Made into something awesome, spectacular. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, Jesus, we praise you and thank you. Let's go ahead and lift our hands and thank him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We offer thanksgiving on behalf of those families. Offer thanksgiving on behalf of the church and leaders and people. And all the families and all the people and every single person in the church, we offer thanksgiving for answered prayer, Lord, for change, spiritual development and change to come, and protection and prosperity, success and healing and health in every other area. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Amen. Did you get something tonight? Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Bless you.